You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, it is Tuesday night in Los Angeles. It's 7 o'clock, and welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm Nick Newmont, and this is my lovely wife, Audrey.
Hello, everybody. Happy holidays.
Absolutely. Happy holidays. We hope you are enjoying your holiday to the best of your ability. And we are, you know, here we are at home. We thought we would make tonight's show a bit more homey and actually tone it down a little bit. But first of all, I want to say thank you last week to Becca for filling in for me, who filled in for a guest that wasn't able to be on. We had sort of a domino effect last week, but it's good to be back and good to be here. And as we do tonight's show, tonight is going to be about a year in review, where next week's show, what we're going to do is talk about what 2021 is going to look like for each astrological sign and what the numerology of the year ahead is going to be. And I will give you a little tip. I said, many astrologers said that 2020, we said from April of 19 that 2020 was going to be a challenge, and 2021 will be much better, bottom line. Okay. And it's not that there won't be challenges. We've got residue from 2020 to clean up, and it will get cleaned up. But anyway, we'll talk about 2021 next week.
And are we going to do a visioning next week too?
We can.
So it's important to really determine for yourself what your intention is for 21. Right. So Nick and I have done a visioning a lot of years. So I think what we'll do next week is do a little mini visioning for you and with you.
Right.
So that'll make it fun, huh?
And it's important between now and next week, which is the last show of the year, is to think about what your intentions are. New Year's resolutions are mental treadmills, okay? It's a lot of I'm gonna. New Year's intentions are what you have set in your mind that you see and feel so deeply that it's already being created. Mm-hmm. And again, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that next week.
We just want to give you something to look forward to.
Sure, sure. And tonight is, as Audrey, said, tonight is more of a holiday card from us and about us and those who we interacted with over the past year. And again, we knew, how many times did I talk about the Saturn-Pluto alignment that took place on January the 12th and the language that I was using and, finding out, recognizing where the bodies were buried, and Saturn, Pluto, it's a karmic transformation. It's something change that was overdue. And when you talk about karma, you're talking about, paying the piper,
I think we paid a big ass piper this year.
You have to look at when we look at a time, a year where there were so many challenges globally, the consciousness of who we are as a people has allowed for this. We created it.
Right.
We have been, as a people, asleep at the switch for some time. And all of a sudden, we find that things that we held near and dear to us were taken away.
Yep.
And as we have said many times, and we'll cover this month by month as we talk about 2020, there were too many rare astrological alignments that make an impact, but they happened all in one year.
Right.
Where this one usually happens every 19 years, and this one maybe every 13 years, and this one every 35 years. All of that was happening this year. And in alignments and signs that were a lot colder. So, when we went into January of last year and coming out of the holidays, we kind of went in with that, holiday hangover. Okay, it's January, it's time to get to business, it's a new year, what are we going to create? And you know, and for the first couple months of the year, you know, it was business as usual. It was, last year was a good holiday season for a lot of people, and people just did what they did. And we went into the year with a calendar of, you know, what classes we were presenting. We had come out of a very strong year in our curriculum, you know, of what was presented in 19. 19 was a strong, very strong year for us as the institution. And it was good.
It was.
You know, it was very good.
It still is, actually.
It still is. And that's relative to say it's good. And then we go along, and there's the other part of me that you have to remember is I coach girls softball at Westlake High School, and from, you know, 19 going into the first couple months of 20 and into early March, we, the varsity and the junior varsity, were both undefeated. We were enjoying the best season in the history of Westlake High School girls softball. All right. Now, that's not a very metaphysical thing, but it is a, under the word of spirituality, it's an inspired thing. Okay. We coaches and players were inspired in what was going on. And we had this vision of what we were going to do. And it was amazing. And, you know, and I'm very blessed and a lot of gratitude to the staff at Westlake, you know, the athletic director, you know, that hired me, Brad Katz, and the head coach of the varsity team, Bob Kramer, for bringing me in. And I'm now in my, what is this? My third year there. Cause there will be a softball season, and I have the great fortune of, in a program that suffered, I've won more games as a JV coach than any coach in the history of Westlake High School.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So, but they've also suffered for a long time. So it's not like I've won 400 games. It's, you know.
So with everything that we've had go on with COVID and you not being able to coach that last winning season, you know, to be able to finish it, and then for you to literally have challenges with getting into it this year. So just so we're clear, he is Mr. Metaphysical, but he's also, he loves coaching. He loves softball. He loves sports in general. So there's a part of it where it's like, what have you learned in all of this? You know, because it's all about when we're having those hard lines, it's like, as you're going through this stuff, what do you learn from it?
First of all, in life in general, don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
All right. You know, and that life is too short. You just never know what ends when it ends. You know, there's a lot of things that are unpredictable, and we talk about Aquarian things tonight. We will rephrase, you know, unpredictability. That's a big one, especially going to 2021. Mm-hmm. So I was very grateful for, you know, what I had going on there, in addition to working full time and with you and the kids and life. It's just made for things very full. And then March came along, and all of a sudden, I remember, you know, being in the car and hearing this news report that the basketball game in Utah, the Utah Jazz, the pro team there, all of a sudden the game was canceled, that the refs stepped onto the floor and said, the game is not happening. And that was a moment of what could have happened, you know, at the game, that they like stopped the game right there and sent everyone home. And then in the next couple of days, it started to unravel. All right. And this was in March, and like that, oh my God, you know, what is going on here?
And I think for all of us, that was that moment. And I think you can all remember back to when that first moment was, where you realize the severity of this. And then I got to say, I think there's a lot of us. I remember when my daughter was not going to school and she was a bit crushed. And there was a part of it that said, look, they're saying you can go back on May 5th. May 5th is the marker.
Came and
so
gone.
She's like, I can hold on to May 5th. That's okay. And then May 5th was like, All right. No, you got to keep going. And there were these moments where we all thought, this is going to be over. We're going to be able to move on. And here we are in yet another third lockdown. And for you, again, your coaching has been stalled until now, at least into the spring.
And the thing that had an effect on me, that is also one of my forms of exercise. I do get out there and work out with the girls and move around and do things. And that was taken away. And, you know, recently, as you know, that I've started working with a trainer. Thank you, Brandon.
Brandon, good job.
I've had to start recreating me. And even though over the last few weeks we were practicing, which was good to get out there and do all that, we're on a shutdown again. We're in phase one, you know, in Ventura County. So, but, you know, if this doesn't work, and one thing we've had to learn in this year is to be adaptable. So if this doesn't work, then you do this.
Yeah, you have to go on to the next thing.
We've had to learn how to reinvent. And as we went into that shutdown at the center for a while in that middle of March until toward the end of May, where there were a few people that would come in because we knew them. Mm-hmm. Okay. But people that were infrequent, that we didn't interact with and couldn't guarantee anything, we worked by Zoom. And fortunately, because I do have an international clientele, I've been working off of Zoom and Skype for years. So it was just a matter of certain locals, no, we can't come in. We're going to play it safe. And finally, when we got late in May, I said, you know, that's enough. We're going to open things up. And we also have to, Audrey and I, and of course, at our center, Dr. McGuire, too, we're very, very grateful for the fact that we are considered an essential business.
Yeah.
In mental health, and with Dr. McGuire in health. And we were able to keep going, you know, all that time with a little bit in person and like 90% of it, you know, done remotely. So we are grateful where some businesses, you know, to this day, you know, have had extreme challenges. And I will say this, I'm very comfortable in saying, yeah, I feel unfair challenges.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and how this has been doled out, you know. But so we again are very grateful, and thank you so much to everybody out there that continued to attend classes. I mean, in that time frame, I was teaching an extremely complicated class, a series in sacred geometry, which is normally more hands-on, and that was done, you know, over Zoom. But what we learned in that time was to record the classes, and which a lot of you out there would be watching go, well, duh, you should have been recording the classes all this time. You
know, we're getting with it.
Yeah, we're getting with it. And then there's a meditation series that I was doing, and I was recording that on my phone and just sending that to all the students. So we did adapt, and necessity is the mother of invention. And we actually made improvements in what we do and how we do it.
Yep.
You know, in that time frame. And once things, you know, we got deeper into the summer, then we saw how we could incorporate with social distancing, having the students that we knew, not strangers, come back into the center, because the group room is quite large, and we were able to, you know, facilitate classes, you know, and some of the Saturday workshops where in the past we would pride ourselves on having food and all that we didn't do. Mm. We stopped that because, you know, that we just didn't want to create anything that was unsafe. And we had to create forms that were disclaimers and waivers and have people sign.
I forgot to have people sign it.
And documents that said that, you know, we were not only, oh my God, that not only were we not responsible if someone had something happen, their heirs could not come back at us. That's how intricate the waivers that we had drawn up by our good friend Ken Klee, you know, had to be. So it's very strange for us, because we know that you know, out here, it can be very litigious. Mm-hmm. And Audrey and I don't operate like that. You know, we come from a place of, you know, of optimism and positive, and we don't go into fear. Therefore, we don't expect nor attract, you know, anything where people are wanting to sue us.
Which is why I forgot. But, you know, there's a part of it. The reason we want to say all the stuff that we're saying tonight, we wanted to make this a bit of like a Christmas card for you. You know, I've been opening up some Christmas cards that I've gotten from friends, and, you know, it's like Gary and Wendy, you guys write what happened in your year, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, and it's, I think it's important to take that time at the end of the year to, on a level, connect with each other. So there's a part of it where we want to share with you kind of what our year has been for those of you that haven't been in. And for those of you that have been in, we also wanted to acknowledge you. And Nick and I have worked with quite a lot of people over this past year who have been in families. And right. We really wanted to acknowledge you all, because when we're going through something like COVID, like this lockdown and all the stuff that it entails, it's like the fear factor of it, the just being locked up with each other daily, and then more right. daily. And even in our own family, you know, we've had to continually find ways to communicate more effectively and to have patience with each other and to work with each other in new ways. And I think more importantly, especially with the families that we've been working with, there's that part of it of getting rid of old business. You know, we have a tendency to, when something happens way back here, we're going to carry it forward. And it's like, when you do something, it's like, well, you did this back here. And it's like, that's not what I'm doing now. So there's been a process that we've been doing with our clients. You know, Nick sees them for his part of it. I see them for mine. And I just want to acknowledge you all that have been doing the process, doing the work. And I know some of you are going to be watching this if you're not already. Kudos, kudos, kudos. You make our work so joy-filled. You make it a blessing for what we get to do, right?
Right.
And when we see you guys coming in and being happy together and finding new ways to enjoy each other and to get out of the stuff of life, of what people have a tendency to do, it makes us so grateful. So I really wanted to start with that, because it's super important. You know, we do what we do, and for a lot of the time, it's nobody sees it but you who are working with us and us. And so it's really nice to have this moment in the spirit of Christmas, of giving and loving and having that peace and all that Christmas entails, or the holidays in general. All these holidays, a lot of them mean the same thing. When it comes down to it, it's sharing love. It's sharing light. It's being together and coming together as community. So when we're able to take this moment in our little Christmas card here and appreciate you, I just want to say thank you, thank you. You've made the year that is so challenging so much better. So thank you. Yes?
Yes. And also, you know, I think back in this, as we rotate, you know, through the year, one of the joyful things that was really never got a lot of splash and sort of why in the past it would have, is prior to COVID, is in this past March, is when I moved into my bigger office, mm-hmm. where we expanded on the other side of the kitchen, and I took on that beautiful office. And that was like something that was looking forward to. It benefited the entire suite.
Heck yeah.
And it brought in, you know, it allowed for Dr. McGuire to be permanent in my
phone. He's now my next door neighbor. And when we get too rowdy in my office, what does he do? He knocks three times on the wall for me. It's like, hey, we need to bring it down a notch.
Right. So that kind of, I was in there like March the 7th. And then by the time we got around to the 16th of March, I mean, all hell had broken loose.
Literally.
So,
So there's something else I want to say. I know I said families earlier, and I want to say it's not all families that we deal with. We deal with a lot of people who are single people. And for all of you that are single people and you're working through this moment, you know, it's a whole nother ball game. And I just want to say kudos to you as well, because there's quite a few of you that we've worked with that are in this moment being with yourself in your worlds. And I'm just going to say kudos to you for doing all the things that we have suggested, and not only getting caught in that isolation and going down the hill to, you know, hell, but literally keeping yourself not only growing, but expanding and making your lives much better in a time that for a lot of people, it can be daunting. So kudos to you for doing the work as well. Seriously.
And when we go back into March, April, May, where there was a lot of uncertainty and there was quarantine, I do have a number of single clients, and they were in their homes and some of them in small apartments. Yeah. And, you know, there they were, and not knowing exactly what was going on. And people did their best to, the single people did their best to, you know, have Zoom parties and a wine party and, you know, Zoom get-togethers and Zoom dates. But, you know, on one hand, when you have a family, you do have multiple people in there to interact with and comfort.
Right.
And
bicker with.
And bicker with. Well, the walls close in. But also, you know, for us and our daughters, or, you know, one is 17 and a half, one is 20. They're one of
the ones at home.
The ones that, you know, one had a certain amount of mobility, and then the other one, where high school shut down, she was really kind of frozen here with not a lot of mobility.
Right.
And it was tough on her. And then those of you out there, when we talk about families, the ones that where my heart really went out to is ones that are working parents, but their children are younger, like a young grade school age. And those children need attended to. They can't go out. They can't fend for themselves. They can't drive somewhere and, you know, go through a drive-through. And so certain parents, different kinds of jobs, had to just be at home and homeschool. And, you know, and then people started figuring out how to put kids in pods where there was a level of familiarity. And so, again, in terms of the human spirit, you know, when people have to, they figure things out. They figure out the alternative way to make things happen.
Yep.
But it's really tough on young kids that all of a sudden they can't have their playmates and they can't go out and do. They can't just arbitrarily go to the park, you know. So, you know, for those of you with little kids, I felt for you. And we have, you know, a 6-year-old, you know, niece and 6-year-old nephew to different families. And we have witnessed, you know, them and how they've had to deal with that.
And it's a lot. It's a lot. And we really want to acknowledge this at the end of the year as we're, you know, winding up and looking at where we're at. And literally, it's like, what did we gain from this year? Because I think a lot of times we have a tendency to focus on the challenges. I see that all the time. And there's a big part of our work where we really help people train their minds to go back to focusing on the solutions and focusing on what can work. So we have a tendency in a moment like this at the end of the year, it's like, oh, for all of us, it's like, I'm really looking forward to 2020 being over. But there's a part of it before it's over. And that's one of the things that we wanted to literally acknowledge tonight. It's like, in all the hard moments, like if Nick were talking about astrology and he was talking about conjunctions or whatever those squares are, it's the squares. When we're in those squares, that's where we have to be more creative. And that's where we have to really dig deep. And just to be clear, when my clients come in with squares, I'm like, yay, I'm kind of in a way happy for them, because that's where we learn. That's where we grow. So like when our relatives have these kids that are at home. Yeah, it's a hard time and you have to get creative with it. And on a level, there's some really good things that happen in these moments. It's like with us, with our kids. There's been some things, there's moments where it's been really challenging and really hard. And as we're working through it together, as we're talking with each other in a more patient, loving, kind way, we're coming to a greater space with each other. Actually, we end up having a better time with each other and we want to be together and play more. So there's a part of it where when you're at this moment, what did work for you this year? What did you learn? How did you grow? You know, and put a lot of attention on that. And next week when we're doing that visioning, you know, you can use that information to really make next year fabulous. Because right. Quite honestly, I think there's a lot to next year. There's a lot of really good things that are happening.
Right. When we look at this past year too, you know, the astrology gets very technical, but you know, one of the things that happened that we witnessed this in timing as reality, that when we go back to the beginning of April, April 4th, and when Jupiter and Pluto aligned, which was a very powerful type of transformation, and people talked about 4-4 as a dimensional door that was opening, we felt there was something positive that had taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, Saturn had left Capricorn and moved into Aquarius, which we could feel things start to lift a bit. And it seemed positive, and there was some hope. And then when Saturn went retrograde around May the 11th, it was in Aquarius, it was backing up, and we could see where people were going out more and doing things. It was like clockwork that by the time we got to the end of June, while Saturn was retrograde, at that point, June the 30th, Pluto and Jupiter in retrograde, both them had adjoined again. And then on July the 2nd, Saturn retrograded from Aquarius back into Capricorn. And again, like clockwork, all of a sudden, the freedom started getting taken away mm-hmm. again. No 4th of July celebrations. And these two, you know, Jupiter and Pluto, and then Saturn on its own from Aquarius back into Capricorn, everything began to shut down again.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, made the summer very restrictive. Well, you can't go to the beach and you can't lay on the beach, but you can be moving, you know, and you could go in the water and all these stipulations.
Right.
And so then when we got into September, Jupiter turned direct from retrograde in the middle of September. And then September 30th, 29th, 30th, Saturn went direct. And then Pluto went direct on October 4th. And so it looked like we were starting to build momentum. All right. And then we come along. And at the same time in September, Mars goes retrograde. So now we move to the election. And on the day of the election, and how much did we talk about this? Mercury, which was retrograde, goes direct the morning of the election.
Right.
And as predicted, yes. And when I say that, it's not just me, all astrologers. Holy hell broke loose, and it's still unresolved. Mars was retrograde on the day of the election, and I still can't find in American history, and I went back before 1900, I can't find another election where Mars was retrograde. So that creates a lot of retribution, a lot of pushback, backlash, you know.
So I think what people want, Nick, seriously, I think what they want is to know that there is hope for the future. Because I'm just going to say there is a lot of people who are feeling really challenged. I know it. I see it. People talk
sure.
with me. It's a lot.
Sure.
So where's the hope?
Well, the hope is that And the hope is what just happened, where Jupiter last week moved into Aquarius, and then Saturn moved into Aquarius.
But what does that mean?
Okay, well, you're asking.
I know.
Okay, so let me say.
Come on.
But they have to know the technical part. So when those planets move from Capricorn into Aquarius, that's where the hope is. In other words, that's where we start to take our freedom back. This is where the good news is. And of course, the great conjunction happened, you know, just the other night. So all of these things, you know, occurring simultaneously are going to create this push, and it won't be a false hope. We will see in Aquarius how we start to evolve, but also revolve. In other words, what comes around goes around, and people in true Aquarian Uranus fashion will say, enough. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Okay.
Because you can't contain Aquarian energy. It's too big for that. It's not explosive. It's not like Mars, like the god of war. Aquarian energy is an evolution where this great butterfly, you know, comes out of the cocoon, and we're born anew. And that's now.
So literally in this moment, now with this grand conjunction, we are opening up into a new time element, basically.
We are. And so what you will see is people being more communal, more mm-hmm. community-minded, mm-hmm. Looking out for each other more. And also what you will see, especially with Saturn in Aquarius from hardcore Capricorn, is that all of a sudden governing bodies care more, where all of a sudden you see something is lifted and it's like, oh, you know, well, they do care about us.
That'll be fun. Know?
Yes.
And I think people are looking forward to a bit of that. You know, they just had this bill that they're looking to push through, and in the bill, there's a lot of people who are angry about it right now, and all the money that is going to things that are other than COVID relief. Right. So it's a real interesting moment, because that's not them caring so much about the individual. I mean, some of the stuff in that bill, it's ridiculous.
Yes, it
what the money goes to.
It has nothing to do with the general public.
Yeah. So maybe in this, they resolve the bill or redo the bill in a way that money literally is helping all the amount of people that have really been affected by this in extreme ways. So there's a part of it that we're looking at now. And the reason that we wanted to do like this year in review and make it like our Christmas card is there's a part of it for all of us to kind of review the year and look at it and learn from it, grow from it, gain that wisdom. But I think more importantly, it's like, I think that there's a lot of people who are almost getting into the habit of being home alone or home and into the habit of wearing a mask all the time. I was just talking with a woman today in a store, and I was saying, you know, I really appreciate that you're here with this thing on. She goes, you know, sometimes as I'm driving, it feels like it's still on my face, or I'll be home and I'm thinking, oh my God, is my mask on? And it gets to be like a habit where that gets to be like normal. That gets to be just what we do. So it really needs to be very clear that this is not our normal. It's not what the future is going to look like. So it's a super important thing in this moment now, especially going into what we're going to do with you next week. What do you want to be your new normal? You know, as you're looking back at this year and you're looking forward into 21, what do you want for your new normal? Everybody gets to create. Everybody gets to literally imagine and start putting those wheels in motion. And the more of us that put in motion freedom, abundance, you know, all the things that we peace. Peace is huge. You know, when we start imagining this and putting this into motion, we're literally talking to that quantum soup. You're creative, right?
Right. And the deeper we go into this Aquarian energy, you know, it will be much more focused on alternative things. And that's what Aquarius rules, is alternative things, alternative approaches. And it is the, especially with Saturn going into Aquarius, it is the getting rid of the old way of doing things. Mm-hmm. The new way is going to be fully entrenched. And an Aquarius is humanitarian. The other thing that I wanted to bring up and Audrey too is it is the holidays and everybody looks at the holidays differently. And I've worked with many clients through the years where they've had unfortunate things happen at the holidays. So the holidays remind them of something unfortunate that has transpired in their life and helping them process that. And that just happened with a client that I have yesterday. He was talking about things going on in his body. And I had to ask him, okay, what has transpired for you or your wife at the holidays? And he told me. And so it becomes for some people an unpleasant reminder. And so, you know, we never say to anyone, well, you should enjoy the holidays, because some people say, why? You know, I don't want to. So everyone is entitled to this time to behave as they wish.
Yeah.
However, there is something that I do want to share, and it's something that will bring the kid out in all of us as a reminder, as the, you know, the concept of manifestation. And when we were kids, if it was what we subscribed to, you know, we were taught when Christmas was coming that there was a Santa Claus, and to get what you wanted for Christmas, you were good. But what was really said was, okay, you write a list and you send that letter off to Santa Claus. And by doing that, you know, magically, when you were a little kid, you would come down Christmas morning and there would be these wonderful things that were under the tree. And if it was really played out, then, you know, there would be a half-eaten cookie there, a partially drunken glass of milk, and Santa Claus came and you were good and you got what you wished for because you sent this letter off to the North Pole. And it's wonderful to have that kind of feeling of, well, it magically it appeared.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we get to a certain age and all that unravels because we're told, you know, how all those things materialized. And that kind of, it's like a cake that falls in the oven, you know, that, the rug gets pulled out from underneath us. And then we're taught almost in a cruel way that you're going to earn everything you get. And that's how it is. And there is no magic. And then, like, we go drudging through life, and sometimes people manifest easier than others. Then we come around to people of consciousness that understand, manifestation and all the books by all the authors that have been written about manifestation, which actually really go back to, you know, the early 20th century and Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich.
One of my favorite authors, if you haven't read his books at this point, Napoleon Hill, he has one called right. Outwitting the Devil. Awesome. It's a great holiday gift.
So then we find out, oh, wait a minute. If we write affirmations and continue to refocus and visualize or do vision boards, and, you know, we learn to affirm in the present that we have what we want, or we are what we want.
And holding that space in the heart, actually the feeling behind the affirmations is more important than the actual affirmation or power statement. It's so important, well, that part.
And also, as Merlin told me many, many years ago, it's not what you want, it's what you will. In other words, you hold on to that and you continue to drive that by reaffirming that in your thoughts and feelings and visions all the time. And all of a sudden, and vision boards do work. They've certainly worked well for me through the years. Or there's what's called the Mental Bank Journal, which is a nightly journal of an accounting for what you do, and it makes money grow. We have all these tools, and we come to realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm making a list again. Like, Audrey's awesome when it comes to, like, her single clients. Well, what do you want? And you want to make your list of who you want in a man or a woman. And so we come full circle from the little kid that sent the letter off to the North Pole and was cleaning up their behavior in goodness, all right? And a lot of the goodness isn't just, I'm good. It's also the good in feeling that you're doing for others too, mm-hmm. which is, you know, part of the exchange of the heart. Mm-hmm. And so we go from having through magic, not having because we've taken on belief systems that were not our own. You have to earn it. You're going to work hard.
Iron that one.
Life
big
is tough.
One.
And then we come around to consciousness again, go, wait a minute, start writing letters again, start making your wish lists, you know, send it off to the universe, keep wishing and imagining and visioning. So I just simply call that the Santa Claus theory. And if you're having trouble manifesting, go back to the Santa Claus theory, go back to the pureness of being a little kid in your inner child and nurture your inner child. And reward the inner child.
There's a little caveat with that, though. There's a little caveat. Normally, it would be they would just show up under the tree. There's a part of it when you are creating that list, you're creating the intentions. You want to continue to put your attention on it.
Right.
And then, super important, you have to take whatever actions are going to take you in that direction. It's super important to understand it. Just right. Usually doesn't like just show up, you know. It's like that joke that somebody had said ages ago. It's like somebody kept saying, I really want to win the lottery. I really wanted to win the lottery. And I kept putting it out there to God. I want to win the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery. And God finally hollers down from the heavens and say, you must buy a ticket. Right. It's like, whatever the thing is, take those steps, you know, do the thing.
But I must tell you, in the power of the mind, you know, there was a vision board that I did some years ago. Before I met Audrey, that was one of the best vision boards in creating results that I had ever done in my life. And, you know, and I've always had, obviously sitting here, a fascination with media. And I've had a lot of media, especially since becoming a metaphysician and, you know, and in national television and radio. And this one vision board, I went into an entertainment magazine and cut out a show, the studio set that, and it was a radio booth. And I put that on that vision board. And that was at the beginning of that year. And by the time I got into the fall, September of that year, you know, I had a nightly, Monday through Friday, a nightly national radio show. So, and I didn't have to take action. I got contacted. You know, it said, hey, we know who you are. We'd like you to audition for this.
So I tell my clients, sometimes it's like if you're the quarterback, sometimes you do throw that Hail Mary and you get the touchdown, you get the thing that you want. But for a lot of people, there's that continual 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards. Or, you know, heaven forbid it gets intercepted. There's a whole thing that goes around with that. But it's important to understand. Keep with it. Keep the feeling on it.
I'm going to step out of frame for a moment, keep talking if something you just said that the audience is going to appreciate.
So the other part of everything that we're talking about right now is this moment of this grand conjunction. And I just wanted to share with you as a little gift. I created a meditation the other day when we were having an event at the office. It was an online video event, and I put that meditation on my podcast. So if you're interested, I'll be posting that on my Facebook page, and it'll also be on our websites.
Well, when you said the quarterback and the Hail Mary, you know, some of my friends on Facebook, you know, and I really like the exchange that we have, but everybody got a kick a couple days ago, Monday, when they saw the picture on Facebook of my Rams mug being upside down after the Rams lost. You know, and giving it away, you know, and sometimes we have to recognize when we have a good thing and to be opportunistic. So I will not drink out of the Rams mug the day of a Rams game again because it does not have a good track record. So, yes, the
'cause that mug, you know, directs the whole game.
Well, it's done anyway. So in a moment like that, and there are people out there that know what I'm talking about. When
all the superstition
opportunity comes to you, it's important not to look at something as it's too good to be true and not to take it for granted.
Right.
And not to assume anything. because the concept of victory, which is attainment and whatever you want in your life, job, relationship, money, health, whatever it is, when it comes into our midst, we must embrace it, okay? And as we go into, as we're already about 8 years into the Aquarian age now, all right? And Saturn and Jupiter and Aquarius don't mean we're in the Aquarian age. We're just in it. And there's 2,000 years in an age, which means that we're 4% into this 2,000-year period. So we just have our toes in the water. But things with Aquarius happen all of a sudden. And Aquarius is that elusive butterfly. So when you see opportunity coming in the year ahead, don't let it get away. Don't think it's too good to be true, because there's no such thing as too good. And if it's verified in its existence, then it is true. It's yours. Let it be yours. Don't think it's someone else's. Good things are meant for each and every one of you. You're Yep. meant to have good things. So when it comes to you, take it and let it be yours, but also in your heart, appreciate. And don't think that you don't deserve. You do deserve. Yep. You know, and just like Santa Claus, you know, people, we used to joke about the naughty list. No, the universe does not have a naughty list. The universe does not sit in judgment. The universe is only love.
But people judge themselves and they deem themselves yes. not valuable or not worthy of what the thing. And we're putting the brakes on for ourselves. So take some time this year towards now until January and really acknowledge how brilliant you are. And if there's something that you think maybe I'm not brilliant about, line it up, realign. You know, we always get to realign. So right. if there's something that's going on that you think I'm not good at this, or I'm not good, period, or I'm not worthy, I'm not valuable, it's an illusion. It's not true. But we have a tendency to make it true. So from here to the end of the year, literally take that time to reassess. And if there's something that does need to be done differently or we need to change, do it.
And the thing that I do want to stress about the Aquarian age and then Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius, Aquarian energy happens all of a sudden. So expect a miracle. Things are going to change. They're going to change fast. Things can change all of a sudden. And even if you think something is really, you know, going the wrong direction, it can change in reverse and become good.
So be expecting good.
Be expecting good. Exactly.
Hey, we're running out of time, but I really wanted to say something important. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you that show up here every week. And thank you in particular to Kirby. Thank you. And by the way, Kirby, everybody send Kirby a lot of love. He just got into a little bit of an accident. So we're all holding him in the highest. He's okay. But it's always nice to feel a little extra dose of love when your body's a little, you know, bruised. I also want to acknowledge Cheryl. Cheryl is one of the best cheerleaders ever. And she just is an amazing support, as is Becca, as is so many of you that I'm seeing on here, John and Patrice and Gloria, Lisa Frith, I mean, Beth Cola, all of you all, the Jeannie, Richard, Audie and Brandon. I mean, I could go on and on and on. You know who you are, and we just want to thank you so much for all your love and your support, and yes. I just can't say enough. Thank you.
If it wasn't for you, all of you, we wouldn't be in business.
Nope.
We're in business for you, and the amount of response that we've had and the interest in everything that we present was better than ever. It really was, and we appreciate being there for you.
Yeah.
It's what we're all about.
And when you are making your lives fabulous, I can't even express to you enough. Nick and I are just like, we'll look at each other when we know, you know, when we're working with you and we're like, wow, did you see that? You know, so kudos, kudos, kudos to all of you that are really taking the time right now to make your lives better. And moving into 21, we are here for you. We support you. And we're going to have a lot of new things and programs and workshops
and
all
of this. A lot to come in 2021.
To really share. So we look forward to seeing you all next week. We have another special show for you. That'll be more of a New Year's show. I think we're going to actually do a visioning. So be prepared. It's going to be fantastic. And in the meantime, love each other, be patient with each other, and focus every ounce of attention on, you know, connecting with your heart.
Exactly. Have good holidays. We'll see you next Tuesday. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Thank you for watching Mainstream Metaphysics with Audrey and Nick Newmont. See you next week.
Bye for now.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.